Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. Great to see you, Jordana.
Great to see you as always.
Listen,
once a week, we're really getting to stay in touch. It's great.
I like our weekly check-in. I like that we do like 5 minutes, but really we get to, you know, go over things in the first 15 of this podcast. You know, mm-hmm. How are you? How are you? You know, it is. I listen to Jess's Zoom meetings a little bit, like work ones. Do you guys have to do? Have you guys had like? Does every Zoom meeting start with like, how we doing, everybody? And everyone has to say the same things. Like, are you having that too?
Pretty much, I guess. Yeah, it's like a little bit of that. Like, oh, like a little like tiny anecdote about why some things are annoying, and then you get right into it. And then sometimes that goes on for too long, and I'm like, listen, I've got another meeting at one. So like, I love this, but let's just get to the point of the meeting.
I feel like it, yeah, this is, but I watch it from this angle, like, and I get it too with like Zooms that I start, and like, it always has to get punctuated with some like non sequitur where it's like, I guess the new normal. All right, let's get to business.
Like, right. Like, yeah.
It's just like, I would, there should be company mandates. Like, if I were you, you know, as one of the betches, you should send out an email when we start the Zoom meeting, no small talk. Like, would that make you sound bad?
It can also be like kind of small talk though, before everyone gets, sometimes my new thing is to arrive at like, if the meeting's at 11, I try to arrive at like 11:02. So I'm like one of the last people there. They've already been doing the small talk.
Sure.
While I've been like figuring out where the link is.
I think that's a great maneuver that all of our audience should start doing. If you're getting invited to a Zoom, you show up 2 minutes late and you're good. You've missed.
And then they're like, okay, Jordana's here. Like, let's
get
like,
it started.
Everyone's here. Yeah.
You become the non sequitur. You're the times are weird.
Exactly. And now I've been realizing I need to switch the background, because the background always gets a comment. I realize I'm sitting in front of a bar cart, and I'll always get some sort of comment that's like, oh, like what a, like a, Jordana's got like a serious like bar situation going on there. And then I make the same joke about Mike's mixology habit, and then we like continue on.
It's like you're doing a stand-up routine. Like it's the same questions, the background, and it's like, it is one of those things that's annoying to hear, but you can't help doing it yourself. Like I do it. Like if someone was like, ooh, nice mirror, I'd be like, okay, enough with the mirror. Let's look. Right.
You know, I've already heard that one.
I've heard it. You know, we've done that. Like, but if I was with someone on Zoom, I would look at their back. Like I always, my go-to on like the Zoom happy hours that we did with like college buddies, my go-to has been to make fun of how everyone looks, like where they look like they are. So like we had one friend that was at his in-laws' place, and they were in a very like, you could tell it was like a very live, laugh, love type of house. And I was just like, oh, look at Peter is signing in from the inside of a dollhouse. And like the joke kills every time, because you get the visual and you get the other, you know, so
you get the whole thing set up for you. Speaking of which, let me turn on the light.
Turn on the light. Well, you turn on the light. I want to let the listeners know, thank you for listening. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We love doing this podcast. All you got to do, and it's a free podcast. We're giving you content. You're welcome. All you got to do is tell a friend, make it your Instagram story. Let people know. They're looking for things to do right now and things to occupy their brain. And listen, there's a lot of anxieties. There's a lot of nights where you're thinking about the future. The weekends are long. So throw this podcast on. Let us take over your brain. We'll take the wheel. But there's someone else in your life that needs that too. So share it. Let people know.
I agree.
Also, we've begun putting videos on the U Up Instagram page. And I think what I've done with the J Train podcast and what we're doing with this podcast is we understand how hard it is to tell someone about a podcast. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of creators putting stuff out right now. So we know we're in a very crowded space. Your buddy who doesn't, you know, that does accounting, all of a sudden he's got a new funny accounting, you know, Instagram page. We get it. So we understand that when you say I had got a great podcast, they people get in defense mode. They're like, get the fuck away from me. I'm not a podcast person. Just tag them in the video, because I think the videos are big snippets where it's just one email. That's the cheese. You right. bring the mouse to the cheese. They nibble it up. They go to the link in bio. We trust that they'll go to the link in bio. But we put them on that Instagram page. That's a very easy way to like let people know.
Hook them. And then also rate, review, and subscribe, because
that stuff.
We still love that stuff. And Jared, I heard you, I didn't get a chance to see, but I've heard incredible things about your live show that you had.
It is, and I'm doing another one, actually. I'm doing awesome. Another one tomorrow night. If you want to come, $10, and it's a live experience. It was a lot of fun. It was very cool. I bring on guests. I pre-tape videos of me dancing. Like, it's a little stupid. Like, I'm just trying to, like, you know, basically
the one-man show.
It's a one-man show variety show. It's just one of the, I enjoyed doing it like I enjoyed doing this podcast. It was a very cool way to kind of differentiate the night. It made Thursday different. So if you're out there and you want to come, it's $10, and you can find the link on my Instagram right now. It's right there
and
right
the
now.
Best, so. The best part of these virtual events is that they can't really sell out because they're virtual, so there's unlimited seating. So usually if you hear Jared talk about his show the night before, it would be sold out. You wouldn't get to see it. Now
exactly.
you can see it. Get your tickets.
The beautiful feedback I got was that it gave people an opportunity to have a different type of social distance date.
Instead of that's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And yes. I didn't think of it that way. Instead of like the same old, like, let's FaceTime again, like I say with this podcast, let us take the wheel of your brain. It kind of like, let me take the wheel of your date.
Yeah.
So, I didn't even think of it that way, but it made
takes
sense.
The pressure off.
People were messaging me. They're like, it was the perfect insert for what we needed as we're getting to know each other. So
yeah, I
thank
saw
you for
that
the
in
plug.
A couple
I
emails,
it.
Actually. A couple of
really?
Emails, people writing into you up saying that they, you know, this was a date idea for them. I was going to say, we're going to do a live show too. So this will yes. be another interactive, fun dating show for you guys to watch.
I think when we do it, we can do it in a way that is really special and awesome. And especially interactive, because people have so many questions for us and we come on once a week. Like, I got this DM and I wanted to ask you about this. Do you mind if we get personal right now before we get into the show?
Let's do it.
Let's get personal. How's the quarantine sex?
Saw a couple emails about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's it going? Is it different?
Well,
you got quiet. Like, I was like, okay, I want details. No, I just want, is it more? Is it less? Right. Because I think we have three types of listeners. We have single person, we have in a situationship person, and then we have fully relationship person.
Right.
And whether they're married or living together or whatever. And I think all three levels have this different idea of what the other levels are doing. Like, these people that are single, like, I have a lot of DMs are like, I've been alone in this apartment and I just need, the minute I get
to
out,
be touched.
I need to be touched. And I'm like,
yeah.
And then there's the situationship person that thinks like, well, you know, that there's a little like anxious about like, what will this become before?
Mm-hmm.
And then the relationship person is thinking like, is this what it is? You know, like, so I think we can speak honestly. Are you having more sex in quarantine?
I think, I haven't done an official count, but I would say
that
it's
my chart.
It feels like it's kind of this, it's like the same.
Okay.
To be honest. I mean, I lived with him before. I mean, I imagine your situation is slightly different as you see a lot more of.
So did you feel like you were having more sex when you weren't living together to living together? That's another question.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the very beginning of any relationship, that's like the most sex you're ever going to be having in that relationship.
Sure.
It's the most exciting. It's like the new, I forgot where I read this or I saw this, but essentially like when you're in a new relationship, it's basically like you are quarantining together. Like all you're doing is just hanging out alone and having sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And then, I mean, living together, I think like anything that you do a lot with the same person becomes like, it's not quite as thrilling. You got to work a little harder to make it as exciting as it was.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it's like, I mean, anything that's just as excess, I talked to you about this with like the cooking thing the other day in terms of like, we used to cook together on like Sunday nights and it would be like, great. Now it's like, yeah, we do this every night. It's kind of lost its luster. Well, now it's like, well, what the fuck do you want to eat? Cause like I'm making this and you're eating it, or like you're eating nothing.
Yeah. Or good luck. Yeah. Right. I think there's this misconception that like, you know, these couples that are in quarantine are just fucking all day long. And it's like, that's not happening.
Right.
And I'm saying, I'm not saying that I'm like, I think it's like, it's definitely less sex than you'd be having without a quarantine. Like, I think like the, what you just said is like such an important thing with like the, how do you go, like, you're not coming in from a day at work and going, I'm home. And then he's grabbing you. Like it's always when you're around someone like there, it's tough to transition from, You want to do steak fajitas tonight, to let me fuck your brains out.
Right.
You know, like, there's no,
yeah, especially
no
when you see the
change.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easier to do that when it's like the person's been away for a week or a couple of days on business or something, and then they come back and you're like, oh, like I needed this, and as opposed to like, oh, I see you every day. If we don't do this now, we can easily do this later. So it's,
I mean,
kind of like,
and I also I'm not putting this on, you know, Jess. I'm saying she'll look at me and be like, yeah, and we can have sex, you know, and I'll be like, oh, you know, like, and I get, and I'll be like, yeah, we can do that. That is an option for our day. Like, I think like, you know, the quarantine when you're, it is a lot, it's like the Disney, the old Mickey Mouse cartoons where it's the same thing in the background that keeps going past. And it's like the same background again and again. And it's like, you never have a moment where like something shifts or there's to get you, you know, I think the toughest part
about, there's no vacation, about, right? Well, I think people talk about like vacation sex a lot, and that's like a real thing. Vacation sex is a real thing because it's like new surroundings. All the pressures are like kind of gone. You're just there to relax and like sort of like everything around you is built to make that like happen. And this is kind of just like real life, probably with extra anxiety.
Yeah.
So I think it could be less for me. I feel like it's like kind of the same just because, I mean, like we were, it's not, I think with you at least, like you probably used to like travel a lot. You'd come back a little bit, like absence makes the heart grow fonder. Like we've been living together for a year. And so even if I didn't see him during the day, like I would see him every night also. So I think it's kind of the same as what it was before.
It is. Yeah. I think like the less transitions you have, the less opportunity there is to transition into sex. Like I think like when we like go, like, I think for us, when we go from dinner to like, are you tired? You're going to go to bed. Yeah. Let's get into bed. And then you're like, you're still in like the dinner, like look that you were just in.
Right. Yeah. There's no like, the outright, I agree. Like the transitions are like much more subtle than they were. Yes. Like I'm coming home in my like work outfit, and then like that's my outfit for the evening, and then I change into like my, it's like what I, there's the joke like I change from my day sweatpants to my night sweatpants. Like
sure, it's interesting because I got like a lot of people that were DMing being like they were nervous, and I'm like, no, I think I'm in. You know, people are wondering, like, am I do? I think the like a lot of people sit there going, is this what it is? And, you know, like, and I think that if they take comfort in hearing us be like, yeah, it is kind of what it is. It is kind of, you know, having to remind someone like, hey, I'm here to fuck too. Like, I think like that exists in relationships. I think like, you know, like, I think that because I think it actually comforts me when I get an email being like, yeah, so like it things are tough. And he, you know, my husband isn't really as charged up to have sex right now. And it's like, I get that, where it's like, he's probably anxious. He's got his own jobs. He's got his own career stuff that's going on. Also, like, you know, throughout the day, like you come in and it's tough to go from, hey, can you take out the trash, to, now let me lick your anus. Like, it's just like, what a jump that
right.
is.
I also think like even the smallest amount of like not seeing someone can really make you like that much more excited about it.
Yes,
so I think
absolutely.
that factor is just totally gone now. So it's like,
yeah,
there's not like at least like even like honestly, even going to work is like you're in a totally different environment from that person. You're doing your complete own thing. It gives you like a little bit of space to miss them. And
absolutely.
That is kind of just totally gone now.
I mean, we got in an argument because I think I said this before. I'll put on my headphones and just like listen to podcasts and just like kind of like disappear. Like mm-hmm. my mind just like the way I tell people about this show, I'm like, you know, I put on a podcast and I just go away. And like,
yeah.
she'll be on the couch being like, hey, did you do? And I'll go, what? And then she'll get so annoyed that I'm away. And I'm like, that's what I need in my day. Like, I do that to like get my mind off shit for me to think about writing a joke or putting it
right.
into the podcast or, you know, thinking of what I'm going to do for a live show. Like, I need this trip away from my brain. And it sounds so fucking douchey when I say it, because I'm like, the artist needs to get his brain rested. And it's like, and I'm like,
massaged.
Yeah, but this is,
yeah.
you kind of forget what makes you in a normal day. Like, you have to remind yourself, like, oh, I did like my commute. My
right.
commute gave me something. My
now
trip
more grateful
to the
for it. Yeah.
Sure, my trip to the gym gave me something. My mindless, you know, walk that I didn't want to do because I didn't want to call an Uber helped me in a certain way. And you have to like remind yourself of that.
Right. And it's kind of funny because we've gotten into sort of a like similar situation where he'll be like, he'll also like to be doing work and listening to a podcast. And I'll be like, I'll think of something randomly to say to him. And then like, I get his attention and he's like, what? And I'm like, supposed to be 72 tomorrow. He'll be
like you interrupted the whole
right.
flow. I get so annoyed
like,
at that.
Great.
And then I always go, I go, can I go back now?
Right. And then I'm like, why are you being rude?
Yeah. This is the same exact fight.
Okay. Good
I
to know.
Yeah. I get so annoyed because I'm like, yeah, like I think like with any work, like when you're trying to do work at home, you can't just like, I'll do work and then I'll go to my phone. I'll do this, you know, the spin around the apps. And then back to work for 45 minutes. And it's like, if in that 45 minutes, someone goes, hey, it's going to be 72 tomorrow. Like, you lift up and you go, okay.
Okay.
And now you're back to the phone, a loop around. You got to, like, charge yourself up, ready to go back to work. And it's like,
yeah, I'm that annoying person. That's
you never
like,
get
yeah.
to keep momentum when you're working from home. I think
right.
that's a big thing. But,
yeah, and it's hard to tell when someone else is like in the zone or they're just like, you know,
like ignoring you on purpose.
Right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
What are we talking about today?
So we get a sort of variation of this question from time to time, and I'm interested to know your take. So it's about your thoughts on couples that need to be engaged before they live together. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know anyone who's sort of gone by that rule or encountered it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of it. I've heard of it. Like, that makes me sound like, yeah, I've heard of these religious idiots. I'm aware that some people have that rule. I don't prescribe to that. Obviously, I'm living with someone I'm dating, and I'm not engaged. So I wouldn't personally live with someone before.
You wouldn't get engaged before you lived with someone.
I wouldn't get engaged before I lived with someone. I do understand that. Like, I have a friend, I don't know if we talked about this before, but like, he told me, he was like, the biggest change you go through as a guy is moving in with someone. So like, he was like, the engagement's not going to change your life. The wedding won't change your life.
The kids might.
Well, he even said, he goes, kids just add Pampers to the grocery list. Like, he's like, but that, like, that shows how easy it is to be a man. Right. But like, that is... That is like the only transitional period that we really have as far as like what's going to be different. You know, him and I had like a long conversation about this. He's like, when you move in, like that is the biggest change in the relationship. Like, he's like, kids will change it. But he was saying the move in doesn't get the credit that it deserves. So with that being said, like, I don't like getting engaged won't change anything for me, but moving in is a certain type of engagement. Like,
right.
At a certain point, like, we just rearranged the pool chairs, you know, the deck chairs. Like, you moving in before you got engaged, me moving in before I got engaged, it's the same transition as getting engaged and then moving in to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
because you can cancel that? Is that what you're...
I'm saying, like, you have to do these steps anyways. You just took the more intimate step first. Do you understand what
right.
I'm saying?
Well, it's kind of like you're making the promise before you try anything out.
In a certain sense, I don't think you're making... You know, like to me, like an engagement
is like a promise. It's like saying, like, I promise that we're getting married. That we're getting married.
But also... right. A move-in is I promise that we're moving towards engagement, isn't it?
For some, I mean, like, some people don't have that discussion. So I think it...
I don't think anyone does. I don't think, like, I didn't have that discussion with Jess. I wasn't like, and when we move in, this means a big thing. But I think it's an implied big thing. Like,
Is it implied for all men?
Yeah. I would say most. I don't think any guy moves in with the idea that, like, yeah, like, there's this thing that happens in New York that
well, I need a roommate.
I need a roommate. And it's like, no, that's a lie. It's like, oh, you know, it helps on rent. Like, there's this, like, thing where, like, when people are afraid to get dumped or to admit that they're in a serious relationship, they blame the whole move-in on the New York City financial responsibilities of rent. And it's like... You know, like, my girlfriend kind of did that to me. She's like, well, the rent's coming up. You know, like, she did kind of...
The lease for now.
The lease. And you know, it gave me a date to work towards. But, like, it wasn't like... I was always on board with, like, hey, if you want to go month to month, then that's what you got to do. Like, I kind of... And I even said, I was like, I'm not going to pay... You know, there was a point where she wanted to move to a different apartment while I had my other apartment. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not paying two rents. I'm not going to do that. And it's like, I have to I have a line of things that need to get done before we move in. So I do understand, though, that New York City especially, people do the thing where they're like, well, we, you know, both our rents came up. And it's like, yeah, that might be what got you there. But like, there is the implicit agreement that this is more serious than it
right,
was the day before.
This is a serious thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll read the email. We can see if we can help this particular listener. Hi, J&J. Huge fan of the podcast. Thank you for all the entertainment and advice, especially during this quarantine time. I'm having a moral dilemma during this quarantine with my boyfriend. When Los Angeles went on lockdown, I just basically never left his place. And now I've only ever lived with my boyfriend during Corona. And thankfully, it's been great. I cook, he barbecues, I've learned to share the remote, redone his office, and even started an herb garden in my boredom.
This sounds this is the most LA email right. ever. Like, oh, we barbecue. Things are hellish in LA. We barbecue, we have an herb garden. Can you imagine this quarantine life? Like, oh, fuck.
We really get along and have enjoyed this time, but what happens when this is all over? When this all began, we had been dating about 9 months and had already discussed moving in together and the next steps in our relationship. But I have one hesitation. I come from a conservative Jewish family that does not support living together before a ring, at least engagement. And although I'm an adult who believes everyone should do what's best for their own relationships, I would like to respect their wishes and start this next chapter of my life off with my boyfriend on the right foot with my parents. During the 6-week period, we've had some serious talks about the future, and he has brought up many times that when this is all over, he doesn't want me to go back to my place. I don't really want to go back either, but I've made it clear that I don't want to live with my just boyfriend indefinitely because coronavirus hasn't changed me or my family's morals and values.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but she needs to get off the high horse she's sitting
my
on
morals.
Right now.
My morals.
Because her morals...
What does this have to do with morals?
Well, even if it does, she's living with her boyfriend. Like, her morals didn't... All of a sudden, a pandemic changes the morals, you know, the levels of her morals. Like, I understand what she's saying, and it's like, but you're doing it right now. Like, you're legitimately living
right.
with your boyfriend.
It's like saying, I can't do this while you're doing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I kind of don't...
It's like considering anal sex not having sex.
It's a little bit. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Like, there's fucking insertion going on right now.
Right.
And, you know, you guys, go on. I'm sorry. Because it annoys me because it's like, I appreciate her email, but it annoys me because, like, she's doing like what a lawyer would do to get you in trouble. Like,
well, she's using this to do a little, it sounds like, contract negotiation.
Yes.
He says he understands and quote unquote wants to do the right thing and make me feel comfortable, but doesn't know how he can do that right now with everything going on. So my question is this: do I make an exception, believing he will take the necessary steps when he can? Thinking of an appropriate timeline in my head, taking into consideration that the pandemic will add to it, or do I go back to my place at some point and wait it out? I can't help but hear my mom's voice in the back of my head saying, why buy the cow when you can have the milk for free? I know, old school, but do you think there's any truth to that? Sincerely, secret live-in girlfriend.
So it sounds like it's a secret to her parents that she's doing this.
Yeah, or it's some sort of like...
Well, I mean, right now,
inappropriate thing.
Well, right now, he's got the cow living at his house, and he's sucking the udder and drinking all the milk he wants. So I understand.
But I think when you put, and I've heard that phrase before, and I used to sort of like in some ways think or subscribe to it, but it really makes it feel like is that how you really think about the relationship, as like this exchange of like.
Yeah,
that, of like it's, I'm gonna like like that you have to that really implies that you need to like manipulate and like withhold in order to get what you want, which is sort of like the opposite of how you should look at a relationship.
Yeah, and I understand like everything she's saying, like it's not like she's speaking an alien language. Like,
right?
Yeah, I could see a conservative Jewish parents. They don't want you to live with a guy. They're worried. You know, the parents come from this angle that sounds really bad with the milk for free line. Like, they sound bad, but it comes from a good place. They're like, they're just worried about their daughter, you know.
Well, they're worried about this phenomenon, which is like, you know, the someone who winds up living with a guy for like years on end and there's no real push for him to like take the next step. That's what they're, I guess, in a sense, worried about, is that someone like, is someone not having any motivation to.
Well, it her parents, with that being said, that's a lack of respect for their daughter's individual responsibility for herself and how she can, her like sustainability as a person. It also has a lot of a lack of respect for his, you know, wanting the next step, him wanting kids, you know. And I think, like, to me, I'm not going to, like, we're not going to change her parents' minds on whether they should live together or not. But her mind seems to be okay with living with her boyfriend. Like,
she's doing it.
She's right. Literally doing it. So it's not a moral. It's not she's like, I shall go by the Torah and shall not live with, like, she, you know, she found a way to rationalize in her head that, like, okay, well, because it's a pandemic, what are we going to do? Not see each other? Like, and then she's moved in there. Like, I would say to her, like, so much of this is implied. Like, hey, I think we should move in. Okay, great. When he agrees to move in, he's agreeing to get more serious. When you say, right. And when you have a conversation with someone, well, do you ever want to get married? Yeah, of course, if it's the right person, the right situation. Okay, when do you think you want to be married by? Like, these are conversations that you avoid when you put, like, this buy the cow milk for free, you know, I will only live
right.
with someone.
My mom's rules, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
she's avoiding difficult conversations that are, you know, us talking about it, like, we sound like it's an easy thing, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for her to say to her boy, like, it, you know, if she's living with him 6 months and she's like, and he says, I never want to get married, and then she keeps living with him, whose fault is that?
Right. Or, yeah, I'm saying, like, if you have a conversation with someone before you officially move all your stuff in, or like really, really live with them, or like make it a conscious decision, if you can have that conversation of like, well, how long do you feel like someone should be dating before they decide to get married? Like, you can't avoid that conversation with these rules, kind of like what you just said.
Yeah.
And like, that's that is a conversation I think you should have with someone before you do move in with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, you know, you're not going to if someone looks at you in the eye, like if you looked at me, if I was like, Jordana, let's move. How do you feel about marriage? And you looked at me and you go, I never fucking want to get married. I don't believe in marriage. I don't believe in kids. I would look at you and go, okay. Well, if my first thing would go, okay, then we're not the match.
Right.
But there's a lot of people out there that hear that and they go, well, he did say he doesn't believe in marriage, but he does believe in courthouse. Like, you, people make these like they're
right.
You have to like judge if someone's willing to say certain information to you, they mean more than they say. So like if I said to you, let's how do you feel about marriage? And you're like, ah, I don't know. I don't think marriage is for me, but who knows? I would assume that you mean you don't want to marry me. Like, through that conversation, like,
yeah.
To say that to someone means more than just that. Like, so like, I think like she has to be, oh, you know, a lot of our listeners and a lot of our emailers want this black or white answer, and nobody is ever going to give that to you, is my point. Like,
what do you think is her, what the black or white answer she wants to know is, like, as soon as you can get a ring, are you going to get a ring and propose to me?
Yeah,
if I decide to move in with you,
that's what she wants to
right.
hear.
That's really what she wants. Yeah,
and I would say to her that, to me, like, that's not how I want to get married to someone. That's not how mm-hmm. I want to get engaged to someone. I don't want to feel like I'm being boxed in a corner. I want to feel like someone on the other side has, like, you always have to be willing to walk away. You can never right. be in a relationship that you don't feel comfortable walking away from. And I know
that's
that
true.
Sounds
any
like
contract.
Any contract, that's counterintuitive, but like yeah. it is, like, again, when Jess and I moved in together, like, I said to her, I'm like, I'm not paying two rents. That was where I kind of like drew the line. And she was like, well, it comes up on this date. I go, I will try to like look into selling the apartment, look into like renting it out. And if those things come along, I will make the decisions that come along with those things. But like, to be, I think you have to always be sitting at the relationship negotiation table going, hey, I can't wait. I think I'm going to, like, for this woman, if I were her, if your morals are such an important thing and that's what on your list of things, this was a lot of fun for the quarantine. I'm moving home and you know where I stand. Like,
yeah. And I think you should make it, she should make it about her and not her parents. Because I also think that if you're like, if you need permission from your parents to do something, you're not ready to be in a serious enough relationship that you're getting engaged or moving in with someone. If it's like, if you need approval on certain aspects of your life in order to move forward, that to me signifies that you're not really acting like a true adult. So, but if that's, it's okay if those are her morals or her standards, but she should own them as her own and not like place them on this exterior.
Well, she even does it in her email. I don't want to move back either, but I have made it clear that I don't want to live with just my boyfriend. If that's how you strongly, truly feel, time to go home. Like, you know, go live at your apartment. You guys will go back to being boyfriend, girlfriend. He knows what makes this go forward. He either does it or he doesn't. And after a few months, you'll go, you might get tired of this and realize this isn't the match for you. You know, it's one of those things where the reason I don't trust this email is because it feels like she's saying a lot of things to get him to either get shit or get off the pot. Like, where, you know, a lot of relationships may not be ready for that. He might have his own feelings. Like, what about his feelings on moving in with someone? What about his feelings on, so is your parents' wishes greater than your partner's?
Right, which is why I'm saying, like, I think she should take her parents completely out of the equation, if I were her.
Yeah, well, then she takes it out of the equation.
Obviously, easier said than done.
Yeah, it's easier said than done, but also, she takes them out of the equation. Let's say she goes, I personally don't want to live with my boyfriend. I want to live with someone I'm engaged to. What do you say?
I would say she should leave, like, now, then, because she's doing that.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like you said. Like,
yeah. Right. I don't know. I think a lot of times... seems a little hypocritical. A lot of times we say these things that are like we know pushes people into a corner. And I think like a lot of it becomes where it's our putting our own problems on someone else. Like to me, she's put all these problems on her boyfriend. Like, you know, and for her, she's just going to go along for the ride. Like, that's where I kind of don't buy her side of things where it's like, so don't you, when do you make a decision to leave? You know, it's all.
Well, I think it's totally okay to ask someone before you move in with them again, like, where do you see this going? Like, I see, like, when I move in with someone, like, I'm thinking that, like, that this is a good test to see how we do together as a couple. And then, like, if all goes well, like, I would expect within a year to 2 years that we would be engaged and getting married. How do you feel about that? I mean, and that seems like a crazy thing to, like, it seems like a scary thing to ask, but I think it's the kind of thing that you have to ask.
Yeah, and at a certain point, you're just avoiding getting the answer you don't want to hear. Like, you know, if someone...
And seeing if they're willing to move on their expectations, because someone could come back to you and say, oh, like, I wasn't planning on getting married for, like, another, like, 5 years at least.
Sure.
And you could say, well, like, that timeline is much too long for me. I don't really see myself dating anyone for that long before getting married. And then that's how you figure out if you're on the same page.
I would like this woman writing in, I would be more attracted to her saying at the end of the quarantine going, I'm going to go move back home, than I would be her saying to me, well, what now? And now I have to like, be the fucking, you know, cruise ship director that like plans out the next step for us. Like if she was like, oh, okay, you know, I just, you know, this was nice for the quarantine. You know, I don't live with my boyfriends. I'm only going to live with someone I'm engaged to. I got to go. At least I know that she has a line in the sand. I know where she stands. I know that I'm not just getting this contract lawyer speak to like fool me into something. Because that's what it feels like from this email. Like, that's what it feels like she is using all of these other things to get him into a decision that she wants him to make. And it's like, when you drive your own bus, when you go, hey, this is who I am, that's more attractive. That's actually something that, like, that you want to be with, that you want to work with someone on.
Right. When someone's like, this is what I want, are you willing to like work with me to get there?
And then,
right. Yeah. It's okay to like have a standard or have needs, but I think it's like you said, it's better to just state them directly than like trying to. And again, I think the manipulative thing also like ties into that statement that she said at the end about like getting the cow.
Yeah.
Buying the cow if the milk's for free. It's kind of like, that's not how you want to like set up the foundation of your relationship as like some sort of like barter system for like needs and wants and goods and whatever. Like
I knew, like they're at the rehearsal dinner and he's like, I knew I wanted to get married to this young woman.
When my supply was cut off.
When I knew I wasn't going to be fucking anymore. So thank you all for coming tonight to this beautiful wedding. Like, yeah, I agree. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed. And get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Send in yours, UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. Hey, J&J. Love the podcast. It makes my week every week. I'll just get right into my awkward sex story. I've been seeing this guy on and off since October, and since quarantine has started, we have spent a lot of time together. The sex is usually great, except for this one the other day. He told me he wanted to finish in my mouth. So romantic. You could hear Jess in the background just go, oh! He told me he wanted to finish in my mouth. I said, okay, because once in a while, that doesn't really bother me. So I'm giving him head, and he starts to come, and then there's a lot of liquid. And I'm thinking, holy shit, how much is he going to come? Then I realize, oh my God, he's pissing in my mouth. I immediately stop and spit up everything, and I'm not going to lie, it was gross. He is still peeing and pees all over me and in my hair. I just sat there and didn't know whether to cry or laugh. He started apologizing immediately and felt horrible. I just went right into the shower. I took probably the longest shower of my life and chugged a beer with hopes that the alcohol might kill any grossness. I brushed my teeth for a solid 5 minutes and did a ton of mouthwash before bed, too. I was able to laugh about it the next day, and it honestly gives me some good quarantine content. On the bright side, at least we both thought it was horribly gross, and peeing on each other isn't a weird fetish of his. Well, you think. He is buying me tacos for Cinco de Mayo today, so I guess that's a good thing. Thanks for the laughs, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Do you think it's his fetish and this was like a giant lie?
I think it would be so funny if this was like, if he like, he was like trying this out and then he saw that she was grossed out and he was like, oh my God, what is happening? Like, gross.
Oh, how could I? Ew.
Right.
Ooh, sorry.
She's like, okay, good. At least we're on the same page.
Yeah. She just assumes it's not a weird fetish of his. Like, I don't know.
Could this happen? I don't know. I don't know really male physiology. Like,
yeah,
is that possible? Then it was an accident.
I would have to be really fucked up, I think. Like, I don't know. I've never really peed. I've heard of guys peeing when they thought they were coming. Like, that's not something like that's wildly out of like, you know, like I've heard those stories before. I've never had gotten a blowjob and then been like, ah, thank God.
Isn't it true that like you can't pee while you're like hard or something?
You can.
Is that a thing?
I know it's two different hoses. I mean, there's a doctor listening being like, these fucking idiots. I've had a boner and then had to pee in the morning with morning wood. And it's the most annoying thing in the world. You wake up with wood and then you run to the bathroom because you got to pee so bad and you have to like pee like you're a capital C, like you have to like go into a V to try and like get the pee to go in the toilet, and now you're okay. Just like ass out penis, like trying to like get it to the right, you know, angle to try and pee, and it goes everywhere. So like you can pee with a boner.
I would assume I would have heard more stories about men like peeing inside of women.
You would think. I was always, I remember, like, you know when you hear something when you're like 13, 14, and you just like believe it, and it's like, right, you'll never forget.
Like, I remember the blue balls thing was like that kind of thing where I'd
blue
be like,
ball.
You know, it's like the big rumor that was started by men that like they were in physical pain if you didn't like give them a hand job.
Every time we talk about this in the podcast, one angry dude DMs me like, no, blue balls fucking suck, man. So maybe they affect people differently. Mm-hmm. I've never been like in ball pain from not fucking. Like, it always felt like this like big performance that men put on. I was told growing up by one of my idiot friends that like you last longer if you have to pee while you fuck.
Because that's not true.
I don't know, because supposedly it would take your mind off of having to come, because there's this other thing going where you're holding in pee, but you're also hard. And so I've had moments.
That's funny. It reminds me of like, you know, the best way to stay harder for longer is to have like a big work assignment due the next day so you can concentrate on that.
Yeah.
And then you don't come as quick.
Exactly. Listen, men, you don't know. You don't understand. Like, the thinking about baseball is like the one, like, you know, that's like, yeah, okay. I name the players of the Mets to not come. Or I think of a grandma, like the amount of lengths men go to not embarrass themselves by coming early is just crazy. Like, that's why the whole like men don't want women to come thing is always like annoyed me, because it's like, we don't want to come early. Like we don't, right. Like, for the most part growing up, I know we do a lot of selfish things, but like, we're trying, but we're thinking of baseball and old women when we should be thinking of enjoying you. You know, like, right. Our old relatives.
Very selfless.
That's right. We are heroes. But I would think that the only way that this could happen is if he's drunk.
She doesn't say he's drunk, but
I know.
Like,
what do you call this? What is the
liquid surprise? I don't know. Urine.
Milk, lemonade. This is where babies are made. What is that?
I never heard that one.
What's the rhyme? The lemonade rhyme? Oh, I'm going to get 30 DMs.
I don't think I've heard that one. Is that a Boston thing?
The lemonade rhyme. is the sex lemonade rhyme. I don't know.
You're in over your head?
I like that. That's really good. I would call this the golden shower surprise.
Oh, that's good.
The pissy penis. the guy who the secret fetish that he got to live out. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, has this ever happened to you? Have you ever been peed on, peed?
No, I haven't. Have you?
I have in like when I've had girls that have slept over who pee the bed because they were drunk.
Right. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. So like I remember in college a couple instances where we'd both be drunk, and then like I remember like waking up in the morning being like, is that me peeing on myself? And then I was like, oh, it's, you know, like realizing it was right. The person, then I would like jump out of bed. Like I have that memory.
If you, so is this a red flag for you or a deal breaker? If you were going down on a girl and then she peed all over your face and in your mouth.
I gotta say, it's always kind of hot. I always have that moment where I know I shouldn't say it. But like the idea that like, see, I think like to me,
what wouldn't be hot? What wouldn't,
I don't know,
be hot?
How far
would it have to, she takes a huge shit on your head? Is that the...
we do this exercise every week where I like kind of embarrass myself because I want to answer this honestly every time. Like to me, like the idea that like this is his secret fetish and he gave it a shot, like it's kind of like I don't know, like I don't know if that's a like
you
a
wouldn't
dangerous
feel demeaned
thing
at all.
I
feel like I would feel a little disrespected.
See, of course, I understand the disrespect part of it. I also understand that, like, I think it's hot when someone else thinks it's hot. Like it, like I think like that's like my role playing would always be your desires getting like coming to life. Whatever okay those may be for you. You know, like, I think there's a lot of men that are in that position where they're like, you know, the old, I've said this about sex all the time, but like with relationship sex, with any sex that you've had with someone before, it's like, what do you want to do? 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 Missionary. You know, like, it's like, because the two parties, whenever someone says, what do you want to do? It's just that person hinting that they have something on their mind they want to do.
Right, but I think for certain things they require a level of discussion first.
Absolutely, like this is that. I'm not endorsing. Please, I'm not endorsing. You know, surprising your mate with peeing on their face, like that would be horrible. I'm saying, like, if I guess I wouldn't break up with the person. I'd be in her shoes. I'd be like, that was ridiculous. That was funny. I would have a beer. I would do the same thing she did. I would be, you know, that scene in Ace Ventura when he's brushing his teeth in the shower. Mm-hmm. You know, like that would be me too with the pee. But if it came up in a scenario where I walk into the bedroom and she has tarps out everywhere and is like, Jared, we got to talk. I would go, all right, you're not going to chop me up and kill me? Okay, good. Like I would be like, okay, let's hear it out. I got an email the other day where the woman wrote in that her boyfriend wanted to come on her face.
I mean, that's a fairly common request,
and
I think.
She was like, I feel that's demeaning. I don't want to do it. And I'm like, and my response to that is, and she goes, but I do want to fulfill his sexual desires. And I was like, well, you really fucked that one up because... When you like, when someone comes out to you with their ideas for what they want to do, and like if this guy sat her down and was like, without, you know, obviously without surprising her with a big piss in the face, if he was like, listen, this is my thing. I don't know where it came from. It snuck up on me too. I didn't know I'd like it, but I've been whacking off to this type of porn. Like, if you walk away from that discussion going, you're demeaning me, like then you don't, you're not really having a discussion. Like, it's tough to like, with all these
right,
like.
I think you can turn something into a discussion, but still say that you're not comfortable doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Right. That's what I mean. Like, right. You know what I, like when someone comes to you with their thing,
yeah.
You can go, that's cool. I think it's nice that you're into things.
Right.
But that's not for me. That's a different thing than going, you idiot, loser, crazy person.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what you kind of say with the other stuff, like drive your own bus. You decide what works for you. If something that works for them is something you're down to try, that's great. If not, and it means a lot to them, maybe you won't be like the best match.
Yeah.
But
it is interesting to think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Like, you can think that you could not want to do something because you do think it's demeaning. I wouldn't voice that to the person who told that to you. You could just I don't feel comfortable doing that.
That's just not for me. I think you can think it's demeaning, but I think like to make them you're a demeaning person for getting off to that is like not really that fair.
Right. No, I agree. I think you can put it in terms of you. Like if I did that, I don't think I'd feel good about myself or something.
Is this a red flag or deal breaker for you?
I think it might be a deal breaker with no warning and no, I mean, it depends like how profusely apologetic they would be. I feel like that would be like,
mistake. It's a total mistake.
If they were like really, really insist, if I really believed that,
yeah.
If all the evidence pointed that way.
We're having trouble believing this right here.
Right. If I truly believe that, it would be a red flag. If I think that there was any chance that they did that not somewhat intentionally, I do think it would be a deal breaker. I would feel in that sense, I would feel violated.
Yeah, I guess if I was, there has to be discussion before. There has to be.
Right. And you would have to really believe that the person like didn't mean to just like throw that on you.
She called herself Potty Mouth, which is hilarious. Let's do some emails. You ready?
I'm ready. All right, I'll read this one. Hey, J&J. Great pod. I listen weekly and share with all my friends. Questions for you about dating quarantine. Is it okay for someone to be mad at you for not wanting to hang in person during quarantine / break the shelter in place to see them? I went out with a guy 3 times pre-quarantine. Date one, drinks. Date 2, concert. Date 3, dinner and hooked up. Date 3 was the day before shelter in place took effect. Now it's been 6+ weeks of shelter in place. We've kept talking and now text/DM every day and FaceTime 2 to 3 times a week. Every once in a while, he asked me to come over and I kind of play it off. But we have also had a real convo about it before where I told him I take this seriously. And although I do like him, I want to respect the shelter in place order / public health need. Fast forward to us texting normally yesterday and he says, so when are you going to actually hang out with me again? This is getting ridiculous. Then he dug in more. We can still see each other. You were just choosing not to. Am I doing something wrong by still talking to him during the quarantine if I don't plan on seeing him until after it's over? Also, should I judge him for pushing me or keep in mind that everyone is having a weird and lonely experience and cut him some slack? Thank you so much, sheltered in just my own place.
What do you think about this?
I think it's like a little bit of a red flag if anyone wants something so badly that they're like starting to get like a little bit aggressive about it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think it's like, I mean, and anecdotally, I've know guys who are like not interested in like people who do not want to meet up with them or do not want to like sleep with them or hook up with them. And I think it's actually like, this is a kind of like a nice little test to see which guys are mostly in it for that.
Yeah.
And who don't really care about like what your personal need or anxiety is around seeing someone.
Yeah. When the line, so when are we actually going to hang out with me again? Like that line is so interesting to me because I've gotten that text from people I've hooked up with that I didn't want to, see, you know what I mean? So like, and like, where like I've gotten a text from, like if I hooked up with a girl, and then I would get the text like, so when are you actually going to hang out with me again? And then this is without quarantine. And right. I would be like, oh man, how do I avoid this while having them maybe, you know, while not being like having to have a breakup talk right now?
It sounds like she does kind of want to see him though.
But that's the interesting part to me is right. that, you know, I'm trying to decipher, is this guy just really insecure? Like, because I've gotten those messages. Like, I think a lot of people, like, I'm trying to look at it from his side, where it's like, when he writes, so when are you actually going to hang out with me again? The this is ridiculous thing, I think, is like a douchey thing to write. I agree with you. Where it's like, if right. he's lashing out in this way. And then he dug in more, we can still see each other. You're just choosing not to. Like, you know, there's a weird line of like, is this his lack of confidence showing, or is it his, I just need to fuck you? You know, like, right. you know, so like, because there is these people where they need certain mile markers to know someone likes them. And I get this a lot with like the emails that we receive. And I have this, you know, like, it, like where it's like, well, if I don't, if I'm not on the second date with them, then how do I know that they're, or like, if we're not at this level on this date and we're 3 months in, but I only see them this much. When, you know, I think a lot of people do these like box checkings to like outsource right. their own insecurities.
Well, and, you've said this before too. It's like relationships are like sharks. If you're not like moving forward, then you're dead.
Totally. You know? And well, that's a Woody Allen line. That's not me. That's yeah. it. So, oh. yeah, what if I just stole Woody Allen line? Yeah, so no.
I mean, he's one you could probably get away with now, considering. Yeah.
So I would say to this, you know, so like it's interesting that her version of what is moving along the relationship doesn't match his. Like to her, she's like, we FaceTime 2 to 3 times a week. When we get out, we get out. You know, like then we'll do all that other stuff. And like it's funny to me that he sounds like, and I know this is like making some assumptions and digging into this email word for word, but when I read that, so when are we actually going to hang out with me again? It does feel like he's insecure and doesn't know. It's to me, it's him wanting to have sex, of course, but I don't, it doesn't seem like he understands how, maybe it feels like he thinks their connection is different than she's trying to make the connection. Does that make sense?
Like his markers for how the relationship is progressing are different than hers.
Or that, but also that he could only see this as like, we're just fucking. Like I thought we were going to like oh, be doing the
right.
fucking
thing. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's kind of the beauty of dating in quarantine, which is I think the like really nice little benefit if you're a woman looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
I think it's a great way to weed this kind of guy out. If you're like,
yeah.
You're like, do not feel comfortable doing that. I really like you. I enjoy like talking to you every day, but I'm not ready for a physical relationship given everything going on. And I think you can gauge by someone's reaction to that, whether they're looking for that too. It's like a great scenario just gifted to us
sure.
to test out like men's true intentions.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I also think, remember there was like maybe a year ago, I was trying to discuss this whole thing of like how the dating apps gave nerds a free ticket
yeah, right.
to be studs.
Feeling like they're cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, to me, this is the example. Like this guy is kind of a loser. He's lost his magical power to meet new women on a nightly basis because you can't open new. You can't open new clients right now. You can, but you really can't open and close a sexual partner in one night. Like that right. ghost is kind of gone, which is interesting to me. Like, so that like when we get these emails, when people are writing to us, like all the fuckboys are coming back, all these exes are DMing me. It's because they can't get sexual.
They have to go to past clients.
They got to go to past clients. You got to go to the old book of business and see if any of them will come. So to me, like, this is like, it's interesting because I remember when we talked about this, like these nerds, and I didn't know how to say it then, but it's like becoming clearer now, like especially via this email where this is a nerd. This is a nerd who lost his superpower to be able to meet girls that could end up being a one-night stand. And now he's gone along with you for all these days because what else is he going to fucking do? And then finally he reveals himself as like, when are we going to fuck? And it's like, and it's like, dude, I'm here to get to know you and I'm doing that. Like, he doesn't even realize that he's growing a relationship in an appropriate way.
Yeah, that's like kind of the sad thing about the whole email is that, you know, there's no sense of that on his part. But yeah, if I were her, I would say to him, like, listen, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable with like how aggressively you're trying to make me do something that I don't really feel comfortable doing. If you're looking for that, like right now, perhaps like this isn't the match because like I'm not ready to do anything physical yet. So like I'm happy to keep talking to you every day. And like, I guess we can see where things are after this. But like, if that's what you're looking for before I'm ready, then like we might not be a good match for each other.
Yeah. I think it's also like it's okay. It's not okay. The whole judging other people's social distancing thing is like a slippery slope to me. Like,
right. I'm saying I don't think she should judge him. I think she could say, this is what I want to do.
Sure. And again, this is like paying for the date. If a guy doesn't pay for the date and it makes you put off,
that's cool.
If a guy doesn't want to social distance and that puts you off, yeah, that's cool too. The guys have very different philosophies on this thing. And that will extrapolate to other things and is probably the reason you're not the match.
Right. So I think that's the move.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
Let's do one more email. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. Hey, J&J, I'm a diehard day one listener. I took my boyfriend to UUP Live in Boston back in November. Remember, that felt like years ago.
Oh my God. It's a different life.
Right? Yeah. That UUP Boston show.
That was a great show, though.
Oh, what a great show with the girl who gave the text from the guy who was cheating on his wife.
Oh, yeah.
That got mad at her. I think that one's up. If you guys want to go back and listen to a good episode, that was really fun. You guys are the best. Thank you for consistently fun, informative, and entertaining content. I'm 23 and almost financially ready to move out of my parents' house. My boyfriend is turning 27 soon and talks about wanting to move in with me all the time, which would be amazing because we have been semi-long distance from the start. He lives about an hour away from me on a good day with no traffic. He's north of Boston in a city, and I'm on the South Shore in the suburbs. For reference, he lives with his best friend and his best friend's girlfriend at the moment. And it sucks. They're cramped in a small apartment, and the girlfriend basically moved herself in, but that's another story. So being on our own would be so relieving. My question is, what do you guys think about moving out from my parents' house straight in with my boyfriend? Is this too much of a leap? His lease is up in October. Here's the lease conversation.
It all comes full circle.
This is like when people get together right now. Like, this is back to the quarantine conversation. People are like doing this thing where they're like, well, we got together, but we both isolated for 2 weeks. Like, they do their own rationalization for why they're okay to get together, but they can be mad at other people for not getting to for not social distance. They see people at the park and they're like, look at these idiots. And it's like, no, but we're okay because we social distance. It's like, that's the least conversation. Like
everyone thinks they're like everyone thinks that they're not the asshole at the party.
Yeah, exactly.
But when, like, no one who's like, I'm going to go to this party and I'm going to be the worst person there.
Yeah, and no one thinks that. Yeah, you're the right. You're the hero. His lease is up in October, and we will have been dating for a year and a half-ish at this point. I know we have several months to go and anything could happen, but moving out is on my radar for sure. As exciting as the prospect of living with him is to me, I'm feeling a little nervous. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking that maybe I should settle in somewhere of my own first to establish some independence. But I still would love to live with him, and I'm afraid the distance will become more and more challenging. Does this make sense? I'd love to hear what you guys think. Thanks. What do you think?
What I think of Matt moving in to your boyfriend's apartment from your parents' house. I mean, I think that you could look at it many ways. On the one hand, like, that's what women used to do all the time.
Sure.
In, like, up until probably like 1980.
Yeah.
Like, you go from like your mom's house to your husband's house, and that was just like how you did things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends like how independent you are. I get the need for like to like find yourself and be your own person first. I think it would really depend. If I were her, I would look at like, do I live with my parents, and is that the only thing that I do that makes me feel like I'm not independent? Or is my mom doing my laundry and making my meals?
Yeah.
And I rarely leave the house except for to see my boyfriend, because that to me indicates like a different level of like, I'm never going to figure out who I am on my own situation.
Sure.
Than like, yeah, I live at my parents' house, but you know, I work in the city and I'm constantly out and I like pay for all my own stuff and I do my own thing. And like, in that case, I think it would be like, okay, you do feel like you are an established person who has their own like sense of the world. And it's, that seems like a different scenario than the one where it's like, I live at home and my family is my life and my parents still do everything for me. Like, I'm 16.
Well, a lot of it, just, you got your old race car bed in the room. You got your Justin Timberlake poster on the wall. I think also like a lot of this is like, you know, this is a podcast of luxury issues. So like, it is a luxury, and it's funny that like, as I'm, you know, listening to the email and I'm hearing what you have to say, it's funny that in my mind, I'm like, what's a year to live on your own? And why not move close to him and be, you know, a little bit closer and see how this works out? Like, what's the rush? And also like, but then I'm like, okay, well, maybe financially for her, the only way she gets out of her parents' house is if she splits it with him. And like, a lot of times people moved in, like, this whole idea of like, oh, well, I move into my own apartment and then we sleep at each other's place four times a week. Like, that's a financially,
I throw away 6 months of rent.
Yeah. Like, that's a financially, like, privileged place to be in. Like, a lot of times, like, when you talk about, like, in 1980, you'd move from, like, the parents to the husband's house.
Right.
That was also financially related.
Yeah, you weren't, like, really having a job where you could pay your own rent.
Exactly. So, like, you know, a lot of that had to do, it wasn't like, you know, a lot of it was, you know, because of the horrors of the world. But some of that was due to like, yeah, this is how we afford things, is that people team up and afford these things together.
Right.
But well, I would say to her, like, if she has, I would never want to feel like I am in a relationship. And this is kind of like back to the 1980s like thing. Like, I would never want to feel like I was in a relationship I couldn't get out of.
So like, but I'm so thinking, like, you're saying like, so that she has to feel like financially or like independent enough that she could survive without him.
Exactly.
Out in
like,
the world.
Like she writes, like, I wouldn't want to go from my parents' place where they pick up half the tab to his place where he picks up half the tab. And now you're in a relationship where you're like, but how will I ever move out? I'll have to go back to my parents' place. Like, I think like,
that's a good point.
You know, like, I just never, like, you have all these people that are like, I'm in this relationship and we have a vacation planned in June. So like, I'm going to do the vacation and then I'm going to get out. And then I think I'm going to end it. And you're like, I would never sign up for a vacation with someone that I couldn't cancel.
Right. That you couldn't take the hit.
I couldn't take the hit. Exactly. So it's like, And that's why a lot of people like stay in marriages. Like, you are 23. You're at the point in your life where you can live for you and live selfishly. Like, there, people stay in marriages because they can't afford to move out of the house and they can't afford to like pay for the kids. So they're just like, I'm going to stay in this. And it's like, that could be the reality for anyone listening to this, myself included. But for now, right, while I can avoid that, I'm going to be in relationships that I don't feel stuck in. I think that's like the because when you're not stuck, you love better.
You're a better decision maker.
A way better decision maker. I mean, like, I'm very lucky with comedy. Like, I've always made decisions on, like, am I going to have fun doing that thing?
Right.
And that has freed me in so many ways. Like, the power to say no, that is such a freeing thing. So, like, when she says, like, I'm almost financially ready to move out of my parents' house, this is on her mind, too. She writes, I'm 23 yeah. and I'm almost financially ready to move out of my parents' house. Now, is she thinking of herself being financially ready because of the boyfriend? Is it because...
Or, you know, right, she could do it. Like, if they broke up tomorrow, would she still move out?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
That's why, for me, I'm like, I would, if I'm her, I'd be doing all the math as a single person.
Right. And she's probably worried in some senses about like offending him by, you know, moving out and not moving in with him. I could say personally, like, well, so when Mike and I were dating, when I met him, he had roommates and I lived alone. And then my lease was, you know, was ending and his lease was ending before my lease. And I was like, well, you should just move into my studio and we'll live here. And he's like, well, actually, like, I've never really lived alone. And I would like really like to see like what that is. I can afford it now. Like, I'd love to like do that. So like, I'm going to like sublet until your lease ends.
Sure.
And then we'll do that. So he had his own apartment that he sublet for like 6 months. In my mind, I'm like, that seems like a financially kind of like weird idea, considering we like hang out all the time and we're just now paying for two studios, which is very expensive. But I think that made him feel like, okay, like, I want to know that I could and that I like.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm not going to say it wasn't offensive at all, because I think there was a level inside me that was like, oh, you're going to like go live alone when you're like leaving and we've been dating over a year.
Yeah.
But I think now looking back, I'm like, yeah, that was great. I'm so glad he got to like do that, because like, hopefully he'll never do that again.
Yeah. Well, that, and it's also like the act of like, going through that, like I, you know, you don't know things until you go through them. Like, you and I didn't know how to use Zoom and tape a podcast, and now we're pros because right. we had to become pros. I think moving out of your parents' place to your own place, there's a lot of positives to take from that. There's a lot of positives. Also, getting a roommate that isn't your boyfriend and like making it so that like frees you up financially, so it's not like you guys are paying. Now, instead of paying two rents, you're paying, you know, half a rent each, and then it's not as big a waste of money. You know, right. like, there are ways to... I think there's a middle ground.
You can also experiment with learning how to live with even another person, let alone, like, a boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, you can now figure out what it's like to, like... Because that's its own game, too, is, like,
yeah.
you know, splitting up responsibilities of living together, figuring out how to carve out your own space. That's a skill that you might want to learn before you actually move in with like someone for real.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I'm getting used to back to having a roommate. Like, I was living alone. I mean, like, I noticed it, and like, now I eat at night less. Like, I notice how much I was eating at night because I now
you have
live
someone
with
there to shame you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I will bring like a cup of crackers to the bed and then eat them like so quietly, like little tiny crunches. And I'm like, man, when I was living alone, I was like seven popcorns deep, because like there was no one there to go. Like, there was one night where
Jess allows eating in the bed.
She a little bit.
I don't allow eating in bed.
Well, then that's why Mike looks so good. I'm fucking fat fuck. I've been like losing weight because at night it's like kind of embarrassing to do the damage that I could do. Like, one night I made popcorn and it burnt, and it was like 2 in the morning, And I just remember she came out and like, I was like, fuck, it burnt. It smelled. And I was like, I hope it doesn't smell in the bedroom. I hope it doesn't smell. And Jess comes out and she's like, what's going on here? What did you burn? And I'm like, it's a popcorn. I made some. Why are you making popcorn? It's 2 a.m. I'm like, I don't know. I got a little hungry. You're hungry? We ate like 4 hours ago. And I'm like, and like, I had to answer all the questions.
But it's really like also like the internal voice inside you that already like was kind of asking yourself that, but you could turn off. But now it's like in front of you shouting at you.
I could rationalize it like, no, popcorn's a fiber. You don't have that much, you know, like and but then she's asking these questions. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm a fucking idiot.
That's why married men live longer.
Is that why?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Who knows?
They do say that's true, though. That could be why. It's because there's someone there just screaming at them to, like, go eat healthy.
When I was living alone, I mean, just ridiculous with the rationalizations.
Every movie with a man living alone, he's, like, in disgusting squalor of, like, you know, like, I'm thinking about, like, The Wrestler or, like, even that, like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you think of, like, Brad Pitt in that movie, like, with the dog just feeding him, like, from the can. It's gross.
There's a reason, because it's true. Let's play some games.
Okay. Red flag or deal breaker? You've been in a steady relationship for a year, and they address your parents as mom and dad to their face.
They do that without being told to do that?
Yeah, like you bring Jess home and she's like, hey, mom and dad, like, what's up? Like, how can I help with dinner?
I get weirded out when people call their own mom and dad without saying my or our.
Oh, refer to their parents.
As mom and dad. Like if they were like, yeah, mom and dad. And I'm like, no, your mom and dad, not mine. Like, like this is, so, yeah, like they're mom and dad for the whole community. Like, no.
Like, we're not siblings.
No, we're not siblings. So, like, I this is a little too fast. We'd have to have a conversation. Like, did you call my parents mom? And I would, like, call it out in front of them.
Right.
I'd be like, did you just call my mom?
It'd be a very bold move.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be turned off by it a little bit. What about you?
I agree. I think it would be like almost like a little too earnest. Like, it's almost like it's weird enough to even hear someone like say your parents' names or like, you know, two of them. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just like when they're referring, it's always weird to just hear someone like say their name. So
hey,
like, even
Kim. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it is a little weird. I don't know.
Right. I feel like people try to avoid doing that like at all costs. So to call them mom and dad would be like an extra layer of I don't think it'd be a deal breaker, but I think you'd have to call them out and like see if they insisted on it.
Did you ever grow up with those people that were like too comfortable with adults too quick? And you were like, can you just be an anxious kid for 5 fucking seconds?
Right, not to talk to my mom, Susan, about the game coming up or like who's dating who.
Yeah, like get out of here. You're not her fucking buddy who she drinks Chardonnay with.
Right.
Let's do another.
Yeah, no, I definitely know that. Okay.
They donate 10% of their income to their sorority fraternity alumni association.
Instead of the church.
This would be a deal breaker for me. I can't. If I found that out. That to me, that's the same as taking 10% of your paycheck and lighting a flame under it. Like,
right.
Especially
it's also like kind of sad,
young age.
I think.
It's sad. Like, listen, you're older, you're a millionaire. You want to come back to the old jaunt, you know, the old, you know, whatever, the old house, and you want to donate a plaque, go ahead. But if you're 24 and you're ultra involved and it's like you get, what are you getting out of that? Like,
I feel like it represents living in the past.
Yeah, I mean, some people work at their sorority fraternity thing. That's a different thing. Like, if you're on the board, like, to me, like, that is your giving. You know,
right.
like you're on the board and you give 10% every year. Like, you're okay. Like, that could have been savings for our kids' college. Like, that's where the money's going.
Not beer for, like, the Lambda Chi formal mixer.
Well, I would assume that the money goes towards, like, a scholarship or, you know, like, Natty Lights. To the Natty Light Fund.
What if it was just their college? Are you fine? Is that okay?
I can't understand that either. Like, these people that give money to the colleges, the colleges can go fuck themselves. What are you gonna, like?
That's
like,
basically what I would say whenever I got a call from my college being like,
yeah,
would you like to donate? And I'm like, no, there's like millionaires you could call.
Yeah. Well, also, do I want to donate? What about, no, I'd like a more resourceful career section that didn't help me when I fucking graduated. That's what I want. I want to know how to use the website. Yeah. So send me a donation. I lost work. Like, I don't know. These colleges are like, have a lot of balls, and like, now they're starting to go out of business, and I'm kind of happy about it. Like, they all, you know, I don't know. I people get weird about their colleges, so I know I'm going to get like DMs and stuff. And like, I'm a Penn State guy. I love Penn State. I love the people I went to school with, but that was my experience. We move on. Like, Penn State should be okay on its own. You know, and if they're not, then they fucked up, you know, like.
Right. Or like, it's your fault for not turning me into a person who had the means to donate to you.
Yeah. whose fault is it, Penn State? You know, I made fun of Indiana University on my Instagram the other day. And man, people get so fucking pissed.
People who went there love Indiana.
Well, I went to I was in Bloomington for shows. It's a beautiful town. I totally understand why people.
I've been to Little Five.
You've been to Little Five, so you get it. Like, when you see it, you're like, "This is a great school." But for some reason, Indiana itself, the people who went to that business school, they really have to let you know that it's a good business school, and you're like, "Okay, relax." Like. It's like, you're not Michigan. There's other business schools. Like, it's almost as like these Indiana people don't realize that, like, we all know other schools that are better.
Release the Hoosiers on Jared.
Yeah, I know.
They're coming for you.
Just because Mark Cuban went there doesn't mean that you're all fucking, you know, geniuses. You know, like.
You're just preempting the DMs you're going to get about Mark Cuban.
Michael Jordan played for the Bulls. Everyone in Chicago isn't a great basketball player.
Boom, roasted. Okay, last one. They call the cops on people they see not practicing social distancing or wearing masks outside.
Deal breaker. Out. Like, I think what people are doing, and again, what do you think, Jordana? Because I'm about to...
I definitely agree that it's a deal breaker. I'm not about to be policed myself. So I'm in a glass house also. Like, you never know what you're doing wrong until you do it.
When the finger points, three point back at yourself. So it's like, yeah, I'm not looking to get people in trouble as monsters. I don't want people to get me in trouble. And I'm trying. Look, I live by the adage or the motto that everyone's 10% away from each other. So I'm trying. I'm assuming someone's trying within 10% of me, and who am I to judge? I think there's a lot of, like, again, like, we see on the news the people on the extreme of all sides of things. So you think everyone's acting in the extreme. And it's like, I think we're all trying and no one wants to hurt anybody. Like, I posted this tweet, and the tweet was something like, a lot of you guys treat social distancing like you did all the homework in high school and then you asked the teacher to collect it. Like, that is meaning.
Now I want an audit.
Exactly. So it's like, that isn't to mean that people shouldn't social distance. I think it's like, we're living in a time right now and it's like the perfect time to be. Millennial sensibility is made for what's going on right now. Millennial sensibility is like, I want to be right. I want to be on the team of good. And I'm going to do my homework and I'm going to hand it in and I'm going to get the grade. And it's like, I think boomers are really ill-formed for this. Like, I think boomers, like, they're revealing themselves through all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But not to go on and on, but I'm saying, like, it's like a lot of people are using this to show that they're good. They want to call other people out so that they're on the team good. And it's like, it's a lot harder to talk to your dad about social distancing than it is to tweet how mad you are at people at the park, is my point.
Right. It's also kind of like, to me, it seemed everyone, no one is perfect, and we've all probably done something that someone could have snapped a picture of and deemed like not the best.
We're trying. But, you know, I know the news shows people not trying, but that's the news, and they have a different goal in mind.
Right, they need the ratings.
Yeah. So,
we're trying,
Jordana, this was a blast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Keep sending your emails, UUP@Betches.com. Jordana, anything to talk about? Anything else going on?
I don't know if you guys have tried out the new ship features, but they're really great. There's video, there's really cool Zoom backgrounds in there. And also we just launched Mention It All podcast, which is our Bravo podcast. You guys should also check that out. How about you, Jared?
Tomorrow, I'm doing another live show. So if you want to come, link in my bio and my Instagram, $10, lots of fun. It's a little bit of a change of pace. There it is.
Bye.
That's our episode. Boom.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.